Shall we pray as we begin? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, The Servant Queen and the King She Serves is the title of a book that has been published in honour of the Queen's 90th birthday. It's been published by the Bible Society, by Hope, and the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity together. And St. Michael's has bought 100 copies of this book, and we would like you to take one away with you and have a read of it, but then pass it on to somebody else. Give it away as a gift. There should be enough for at least one per family, if not one per person. So do pick those up at the end. They're at the back. Well, one of the facts which the book mentions was that more televisions were sold in the 2 months before the Queen's coronation than in any two-month period ever since. Apparently, Churchill and other senior politicians at the time were against the coronation being televised, but it was eventually the Queen herself who decided that it should be. And during that service, the Queen was given a crown. She was anointed with oil, and she received a Bible. Symbols of her authority, of being set apart for service to her people, and the living Word of God, source of the knowledge of God Himself, as revealed in Scripture. And on the occasion of her 90th birthday, the Queen's coronation was 63 years ago. So today I'm taking a telescopic view back, as it were. And in giving thanks to God for the Queen, we also have the opportunity to review our own calling and our own life of faith under God. So I'm going to begin by thinking about that crown. Aside from the Queen, the only individuals who were authorised to wear crowns at the coronation were the Kings of Arms, the United Kingdom's senior heraldic officials who have heraldic jurisdiction over the United Kingdom. Who even knew, or even knows what that means? You can tell me afterwards if you do, because I don't have a clue. But when we think of that crown, we think of royal office and authority and the wider significance of that in this country in relation to our parliament, our legislation, our governance. And Psalm 72, part of which we heard in our first reading, is an ancient royal psalm. It prayed for the reigning king and was a strong reminder of his high calling, particularly in relation to justice and care for those in need or oppressed. But it does more than that. It also looks beyond what is humanly attainable, even through the very best of monarchs. And it therefore points to the psalm's ultimate fulfillment in the Messiah. Verse 8 speaks of his rule over the whole earth, and verse 11 says all kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. Our second reading from Ephesians demonstrates that fulfillment in Jesus Christ, raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God, where verse 21 tells us he is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. Well, I did try to find out how many current titles the Queen holds, but I gave up. It was far too complicated. There are far too many of them. Suffice to say that she holds numerous titles of every sort, honorary titles and positions more than I could count. But Ephesians tells us that far above any and every title that can be given is Jesus Christ. Beyond the highest level of any human authority that ever could be, the source of all authority and the one who ultimately holds every human authority to account. Every human authority is fallible, but recognition that the Queen has, that her authority comes from and is under God, is an antidote to the dangers of pride, to the misuse of power. And that's true for us too, in our working lives, in the positions of authority that we hold in different aspects of our lives. And it's true for our Christian lives as well. It's so very easy to take pride in our achievements or in what we have, rather than recognizing them as gifts from God. Or on the other hand, maybe to see them as insufficient and to want what others have instead. The Queen's full title, not her numerous additional titles, by virtue of the Royal Titles Act of 1953, is Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories, Queen, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith. By the grace of God. And each one of us who here today is a Christian is so by the grace of God. And each of us therefore has a shared calling to live out and share that faith in worship of God, but also a unique life and purpose under God. When Paul writes to the Ephesian church, he says, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, that is, other Christians, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Well, today we give thanks for the Queen's life of faith. But if Paul were to visit us today, would we inspire such prayers of thanksgiving to God by the example of our faith and our love? Let's pray that it might be so. So the Queen was given a crown. She was also anointed with oil. And this was the only part of the coronation service that wasn't televised, deemed too sacred and too personal at that time. The Queen was hidden by a canopy drawn over her, her royal regalia, the crown, the scepter, and so forth, having been removed. She was anointed with oil, symbolizing her being set apart for service to God and service to her people. Well, there's obviously room for a variety of views on the place of monarchy in today's society, and there are probably a variety of views represented here this morning. However, we do know that the Queen didn't choose the role she succeeded to, she inherited it. And at the age of 90, she hasn't retired, but continues to work more than 40 hours a week. Her life has been dedicated to public service. And whether or not you agree with the way in which she's done that, she has experienced significant personal cost through that great sense of duty. In many of her Christmas messages, she has referred to the example of Jesus as an inspiration to her in seeking to serve. In 1985, she said that the story of the Good Samaritan reminds us of our duty to our neighbour. We should try to follow Christ's clear instruction at the end of that story: go and do likewise. Well, in Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 20, we are reminded of the means by which we're enabled to live a life of love and service of God and our neighbour. Paul says, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." The more we know the hope which we have in Christ and the inheritance which he gives us, the more our focus will be on serving him rather than on seeking to serve ourselves. Paul prays that the Ephesian Christians will continue to know more of who they are in Christ and his power available to them to live out their Christian lives. That power which raised Christ from the dead. The power of the Creator God, which is superior to every human power. So let's pray that prayer of Paul's for one another, for ourselves, and for his church, because we are called to live as servants of Christ, bought at the price of his blood. We are saved by his sacrifice for us, and we are called to live lives of self-sacrificial love, to follow him, to lay down our lives for one another. So let's come to him this morning and ask for his help as we consider how we're following him, or whether in fact we're serving ourselves. We are surrounded by people today who don't know the love of Jesus Christ. Many who don't even know the love of other people and who long for genuine community. Many who are isolated, hurting, afraid, guilty, hopeless. Listen to some more of the Queen's words. Jesus makes it clear that genuine human happiness and satisfaction lie more in giving than receiving, more in serving than being served. So the Queen received a crown, she was anointed with oil, and she received a Bible. Well, the crown jewels are kept under guard at the Tower of London, and they are almost literally priceless, estimated to be worth billions of pounds. And yet, the Queen, one of the wealthiest people in the world, acknowledges something infinitely more precious. During her coronation service in 1953, amidst the pomp and the ceremony, she was presented with a Bible with these words: "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God," or in modern English, the living words of God. Well, as we've listened to some of the Queen's other words, it's clear that she has sought to know God's word for herself. She hasn't just heard it. She has read and listened to it. She has reflected on it and sought to apply it in her own life. In her Christmas speech in 1975, she said this: "Jesus commanded us to love our neighbours as ourselves. But what exactly is meant by loving ourselves? I believe it means trying to make the most of the abilities we have been given. It means caring for our talents. It is a matter of making the best of ourselves, not just doing the best for ourselves." In Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, we see his asking that the Christians may know God's wisdom and revelation by his Spirit in order to know him better. The Bible is the way in which we can experience God's dynamic activity in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit, the primary way in which we meet with him and hear him speaking to us. We meet the life-giving, saving word of God himself, Jesus Christ, through his written word in the Bible. The most valuable thing that this world affords. Tim Keller puts it like this: God acts through his words. The word is alive and active. And therefore, the way to have God dynamically active through our lives is through the Bible. To understand the scripture is not simply to get information about God. If attended to with trust and faith, the Bible is the way to actually hear God speaking and also to meet God himself. Well, on this weekend of celebrations for the Queen's 90th birthday, we've looked back at three things she received during her coronation: the crown, that anointing with oil, and the Bible. And as we give thanks to God for her life, let's also take the opportunity to consider our own discipleship of Jesus Christ. The extent to which we are living in full submission to the authority of God. The ways in which we are following Christ in a life of self-sacrificial love for God and for one another. And how we're continuing to grow in the life of faith and knowing God through his word in the Bible. So let's conclude by praying Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church for ourselves this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith and love, for the Queen's faith and for ours. And we pray that you might give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we might know you better, that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened in order that we might know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.